Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the after show for the assassination of Johnny Versace, episode 4, A House by the Lake. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Back for an exciting, riveting episode. Got a little pump up the jam in the background. Gonna pump it up a little bit. This episode was quite the pumped up episode. Guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Shaka Strong.
Hi, Shaka Strong. I'm Ronnie. You could find me pumping up my own jam at Randomly RJ. Off to you.
Hey, After Buzzers, I'm Russell Ray. You can find me across the internet at Russell Ray Silva.
Hey, After Buzzers, so glad to be back. You can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet.
Can I just quickly say that Juliet is an adorable raver? There it is. For those of you only listening to the podcast, hop on our YouTube and watch Juliet rave because it is quite a sight to behold.
There she goes.
Make my day.
You're welcome.
And if you guys are in the chat, we're going to have it pulled up so we'll be able to respond to your beautiful questions and comments. But let's get right into it. This was a heck of an episode. Man, it just gets more chilling and chilling when you think you've seen it all and you're still riveted. Mm-hmm. I guess we start off at the top with kind of learning about Andrew Cannon's romance with David. Mm-hmm. And kind of that goes south very quickly.
It definitely escalated really quickly, for sure.
What did you guys think about sort of that extra layer of Andrew Cannon in this relationship, I suppose?
Go ahead, you go.
You're fine.
I thought I was the most sort of interested in seeing what was going to go on with this, just in the aspect of... This was sort of the first murder, so I kind of wanted to read the actions of Andrew Cunanan in this one. And then secondly, not to say that the Lee Miglin murder wasn't, like, personal or they had a relationship, but clearly, like, there was a much bigger relationship with David and even Jeffrey sort of being in the way. So, I don't know, I just kind of looked at it with that lens, but...
How do you fall in love or maintain a relationship with a psycho killer, essentially?
And also, like, this is the... I mean, obviously, there's things that Andrew's done prior to coming to go visit them that was crazy, but, you know, where does he sit when he's on that level where he's about to cross over to kill an old lover? Like, that's a lot.
And brutally kill. That was such a gruesome attack. What'd you think?
First of all,
we keep passing it to him. Yeah.
When he said, "I don't regret anything I said, can we move on?" Sure. I was like, "Ooh, you're crazy." How would you feel if someone told you, "I don't regret nothing I said"?
Yeah.
And if they called you just like all the worst names in the whole entire world, I would be like, oh, you don't? Oh.
But that's still in, like, the normal realm of, like, you're crazy. Like, it really ratchets up to...
For sure. But something's definitely not right. Because he has such a calmness about him that's so disturbing.
Who's that, Andrew?
Yeah. He's just... It's something we see throughout as well. He just, like, he freaks out, but he's so calm. And it's just so, so disturbing.
And I always feel like, is he calm in reaction to the other person? So, like, if someone else is there... And I don't want to jump ahead. We just talked about that. If someone else is there... He gets to be like this character of calm or like intense. We won't jump ahead, but there was a part in the scene where he is alone and we saw a different side of him. So, because some people get a rise off that, I would say, you know, if you are even that crazy calm person, like you get a rise off the reaction.
And I love in the comments, the show is making me so uncomfortable.
I've seen that.
I think that's the beauty of the show because you feel like you're with Andrew Cunanan. Like you feel as on edge as someone would be with him.
Right. As we were watching, not to give out your business, but you had said multiple times when we were watching, he was like, I'm so mad. Like you said, right?
I was so frustrated. I'm so frustrated, America. And all the other countries that are watching us. But, I wanted to strangle this dude.
Oh, David?
Yeah, no, Andrew.
Oh.
He's just so, he gets me so mad. When I think about the fact, and we all know that he murdered himself at the end of the day. Okay. And I don't mean to dwell on that. But we all know that he did that. So my stance on it is like, you coward. You coward. You're going to go out and do all this damage, and then what? You're too scared to stand up to what you had to do, you had to face up to?
Yeah, but funny enough for me, I was more upset at David than Andrew. Andrew to me is like, you're off the reservation, you can't be controlled.
Right.
But throughout this entire episode, David seemed to have opportunity after opportunity to get out or to placate Andrew, make him feel like they were together, and then, you know, you can go off. That's what I was frustrated with, but at the same time, it can't be... Do we know that those things happened?
Yeah, we don't know the move. I mean, initially, yes. As the viewers, we're like, oh my, because I think we talked about this. We were like, well, if it was our situation, you knew that this is obviously, a 0 to 100 situation. Mm-hmm. Granted, Andrew can do something physically bad to you, but you better give your all in like trying to get to that door or break away or fight him or whatever. Granted, you may lose because, you know, you are going up against a psychopath. But like, I think it would have been that initial stage. This the initial stage where David decided to stay with him meant like as much as he was going to try to plot it, that's when it gets scary because you're like, it's just not going to work.
And well, here's the thing. You had 101 chances. And like you said, we only know as far as...
Because we really have no idea what actually happened because I guess from the time they ran away to then, only David would know what took place.
Yeah, right? And we just know there was a couple days in between.
You know? The writers were very good at like really making David's character that you really want to get out now.
But, I mean, investigators would know whether the... hammer was carried in the shower and you were showering with a hammer or if it was dropped next to the shower.
Yeah.
If it was dropped next to the shower, why didn't you bend down and pick it up? I would no. Andrew would have not had no temple. He would not have had no eyeball. He would not have had no. He would know.
That would have been my first reaction. I would have been like, I have to kill this guy to get out of the situation.
Yes.
David goes on and says there was a lot of mental stuff, right, with him with thinking of his past or whatever and how he was going to be so scarred to his small town. So I'm assuming as we watch the entire episode into what you're just talking about right now, I'm assuming that was a lot to do with why he didn't get so ballsy. Like either A, I'm going to call the cops, like I don't give a care, or B, I'm going to fight you. And of course that's dangerous too. But I guess in the back of his mind, I guess he was very worried. Like calling the cops means I'm exposed 100%. You know,
I would have called the cops. Take me away as long as I'm.
I know, but
that
does speak true. But that speaks to David's struggle, which was really like kind of. Yes. I know you would have.
No, I think he would have tried to call the cops because he did try, but Andrew had the gun on him.
And Andrew's playing a mind game the whole episode with him. He's calm, but yet he's bashing this guy in his skull so many countless times. And he says that he's not going to hurt him, but how can you really trust him?
Yeah.
So he's trying to go along and he's trying to just figure it out. And he's. Just has so much trauma, right?
Yeah. He's got to be in shock.
What kind of decisions do you make when you're in that trauma?
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, it's like a fight or flight mode. So it's true that you kind of. We would like him to, you know, go inside the game and be like, yeah, okay, we'll run away together. It's okay. But it's really, how can you think clearly, though?
And I think they probably built a lot of his reactions or what they thought would have been his reactions based on his character. And I love that they showed us, like, he was a sensitive kid that didn't want to hunt. And so maybe, like, you know, my mind, you got to kill this guy and get out. But we already know that he's coming from a place that's not even in his sort of, like, reality. Yeah.
Right. It's so against his nature. Yeah. Think you're exactly like right. He doesn't want to hunt these birds, but that's, you know, regardless of the status of their relationship, they were intimate. There was some kind of relationship there, like, and you mean you don't know who you're sleeping next to. I guess that's the moral of the story.
I'm very much interested to see what we see going on into next episodes because, you know, of course, there's a conversation of like, oh, Jeffrey telling David like, oh, does he know about us? Because remember, there was always this like unspoken like, are they together? Are they not together? Or was that a motive for Andrew, you know, so I'm interested to see. And then David made reference to it earlier in the episode too. He was like, oh, you know, you were with us the last couple of days. Like, I'm really interested to see the plotting that goes on. And it was that one of yet another switches in Andrew's head to like, oh wait, so they're together, I'm left out. Like, is that his part of his motive?
Right. I think that's a pattern we see a lot. He always feels like he's missing out, right? That he's always, you know, Versace has an empire, he doesn't have an empire. This couple, obviously cheating's never something that you enjoy, but he just really feels like he's the outsider, and that drives him crazy. That flips him.
Where are his parents through this whole entire time?
Who's that? Right.
Kunan's parents.
Well, the father had left his life, I think, when he was like 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Like, went back to the Philippines. He lived with his father for like a brief minute. Mm-hmm. And I guess the reports, you know, not reports, but like the stuff he had said about it was like, my father lives in desolate, you know.
That was at the beginning. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So
without speaking to your
some people
brother,
do though. I think that a lot too because I speak to my family a lot.
Yeah,
and then there's been months where I haven't, you know, which was odd for me. But there's people I know just because the family structure is like what it's supposed to be, it's not. And I was watching a 2020 interview with Kunanin's brother, and it's like it's so hard to watch because the brother's like seeming like such a regular human being, you know.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, sometimes those mental... I mean, ultimately, it comes down to mental issues that I think Conan suffered from. And so he just didn't have the support or the help at any point in time.
So you have to go hurt people?
I mean, that's maybe the cause of the, you know, the actual mental breakdown. But I think you have symptoms well before then. If you don't seek treatment, that could be the effect.
Exactly.
Look, no. Look, well, psychopaths, I can't do it. I'm not putting up with it. Like, we got to wake up as people and just read through people like Windex. Yeah.
Well, true, but we don't know that we can't. What's to say that David wasn't that good of a person to read through it all? And, you know, he just got caught up
and
with somebody.
And Conan was a master manipulator. Right. And I love that we go back to Conan wanting to show that status. We find out the story of how they met.
Yeah.
And just Conan showing him that status. So I think that master manipulator trait in Conan, while he was always on the edge of being a little crazy, he was also very good at manipulating you as well.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he said it at times where David was trying to find, not necessarily himself, but David was trying to find something. So you got somebody who's going to give you lies, you'll just jump right into that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
What did you guys think about the police detective's assumptions about what took place when they first got to the crime scene? They, you know, the guy really thought he had it figured out. He's like, yeah, open and shut case.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, and it's crime that really is, you know, you see them walk in and they're like, wait, this one's a weird one. They don't really know how to take the case. Yeah. And I think it's just a test. It just shows the difference between back then to now, right? I feel like I'm sure there's way more to go, but like we've gone so far in the sense where they walk in and they're like, oh, wait, they're so feeling strange to the fact that this is a homosexual couple. They don't know how to take it. And it's coming. Mm-hmm. I feel like the fact that their sexuality is taking a whole verdict in their investigation. Mm-hmm. The fact that they have to leave, they're like, okay, we don't know, we don't have a permit, so we have to go get one. It was just very strange to me that was how things used to operate and maybe still operate to this day.
Well, first of all, they misidentified this person 3 times.
Yes.
So, yeah, that threw me for a loop as a viewer. I was like, wait, what, did I get the names wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, yeah, this is definitely so. You're telling me you can open the ID and see the face and the, well, what kind of detectives did you have back then, first of all? Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I think that...
I'm getting upset.
His face was really bashed in. They didn't really want to touch it because they didn't want to, you know, mess up the investigation. But from what you see, he's disfigured. So that's why they don't... It's not really an easy way to recognize his face that's all over the place.
I thought it was so interesting that they came up with the assumption, oh, they didn't know each other, some sex gone wrong, and then...
Then all this extreme stuff happened.
He's like, oh, well, that's what he's like, it's a gay thing, it happens, blah, blah, blah.
What do you mean it happens?
And then to go to the father and tell the father, well, I don't think you know your son so well.
Yeah, and he was like, no, I do, and he goes, no, you don't. And then,
But then we find out that he actually did know his son pretty well, because there was that beautiful scene of him coming out to the father, which I really loved the way they showed their family, their bond, their relationship, even from growing up to not wanting to be a hunter to that moment. What do you guys think of those moments?
I think it was beautiful. I feel like with those two scenes, you see your father that just deeply, deeply loves his son, and he doesn't understand his son. He's not fully... He doesn't understand him, so I don't know if he supports him or not, but regardless, he really loves him. So it was tough because you want him to react in a way that's fully supportive, but he's supporting him in the best way that he knows how.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of... I don't know if I want to say funny, but...
Let's get the thesaurus out. You know, I'm sure it wasn't funny.
Everyone's hoping for a positive reaction from their parents when they come out, right? Or, like, somewhat of, like, I love you, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, I love you who you are. But it's kind of like, well, I brought you good news, too, you know? Yeah. And poor guy, but it was kind of just like...
Wait, poor guy who?
Poor guy David.
I thought that spoke volumes, though, to,
but
like...
it was, like, kind of like...
To his, the way he, know? To their relationship, really. And then to what he believed he needed to do to placate the father. But the father's telling him, you didn't have to do all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the father, this is not something that's happening in the father's life. So he has no clue. He's just, like, kind of dumbfounded, first of all, at the information. But then also, like, wow, that is so interesting that you felt like your worthiness was so low that this was going to be, like, sort of like an offset. I just think it was such a true and honest part of the show. Like, I feel like I've had feelings like that in my life, like, in the past. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's, people go through that for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I grew up in an era that, like, I was, like, kind of in the era of these people, I would just say. And I guess these people would be, like, what, class of 94 and stuff like that? What age are all them?
Yes.
Look at my sentences are all bad. Yes. What age is all of them? I'm just saying, I thought that was really, really cool. And I don't know if the young kids do that anymore. Like, oh, hey, Dad, look at the... I think they just now say, boom, this is what it is, and they keep it moving. Yeah. But in 1994, like, you probably really, really did that. To me, that was really an honest part of the show, I thought.
Right.
Yeah, and it just gave you insight to why David would have been acting the way he was with Conan in terms of not being the... Because to me, I'm just like, you got to get out. You got to kill this guy and move. And so it just kind of built up this idea of why he stayed so long and why he wasn't able to get himself out of the situation.
Yeah, and David did seem loved because while they were doing the investigation and questioning all the weird things that were happening, or they called him weird, David just, like, was so recognizable. He was so loved by the community. And I don't even think he lived in... I don't even think he lived there for that long.
Right. Yeah.
So he really was this good stand-up
guy. Yeah, sweet guy. Not really confrontational. What?
How did you guys feel about Karen and the LA? Elevator.
Why'd you note her by name?
Sorry.
Was she that prominent?
You guys were saying he's so well known, but first thing that came to my mind was, oh, Karen.
Did she read the room and see something was wrong?
No, when she came in and then he's like, oh, thank God.
Another beautiful moment where David just yells something tell her.
Or even don't yell because Kunan's looking straight ahead, right? He's looking straight ahead. So just mouth to her and be like,
yeah, I mean, he kind of tried to.
He tried harder, man.
I mean, or punch him. Punch him, and then be like, grab the gun, you know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 blah.
But I think the thing is that we've seen so many action movies, right? All of us, that we're like, you could do this, you could do a hit, then he runs. This is real. I felt like it's a real way to tell this story.
And he was also so concerned about Conan hurting other people.
Yeah.
So I think... He wasn't just concerned for his own safety, but he really didn't want anyone else hurt as well.
That is exactly why he turned around at the school, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
And so I love those moments where we got insight to his character, but I'm really dying to get more insight into Andrew's character. How did you get here? I would love to see some more like flashback scenes of him as a kid to see how he got to the point he was at.
Such an ugly human being in every aspect.
Yeah.
Like, it's just terrible.
And my initial instinct is to be like, there must be something redeemable about you, but we're just seeing nothing.
They did an excellent job of villainizing him and making the viewers love-hate him.
Right.
Because we're intrigued by him, but we don't like him at all.
And it's one of those characters, I always have a little love for all the characters. Right. Even the ones I hate, I have some love for them.
Maybe not even love, but just you try to rationalize and understand where it came from.
Empathy. I think it's empathy, for sure. Mm-hmm.
They'll show you a moment where that character really connects with their child, even though they're doing something. But we don't get any genuine connections with Conan and with anybody else.
But I also wonder, I know there's things that we're going to learn later that are very, knowledgeable to that, but... Could it just be that he was just off the rails? You know, I mean, I don't know that we could always make sense of everything, especially when you think about it. These two guys were somebody from his life, his past. Miglin was of money, so that means something to him. Mm-hmm. But then he just out and killed the guy at the church, you know, for a truck. So I don't know that there's, you know, we might not be able to rationalize,
It's just when you see somebody sort of like Eileen Wuornos, so like they show these moments where people are people. You feel like you have a genuine moment with someone in your life at some point in time, even if you are a psycho killer. We just haven't seen any from Andrew Conan. Like, there's no moment of, like, connectivity, or at least not for me.
I cannot say that I can
so
say
far.
Anything nice or compassionate towards this person. Like, the things that are running through my mind with a murderer, oh, no. I have no... Like,
what about his glasses? They're pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
My only thought. I don't know.
I'm just thinking...
Is it because you wear glasses?
You
Jeff looks just like him. I don't know, maybe. That's what he says.
You do. You could have been an understudy for sure.
You guys don't know what I do when I leave the studio.
We don't want to know. As of right now, he's not wearing pants in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
I get what you're saying, Russ. I get what you're saying, but there's something about this show is that it is extremely entertaining. It's so terrible, right? It's awful. It's this terrible character that we keep peeling the onion more and more, and it just gets worse and worse in a way, and he's so complex, but... We're watching this, and there's something very cathartic in a way. It's what tragedies are. It is a tragedy.
I want to go mafia on him. Like, they found him shot up in a houseboat, right? Because he killed himself. Throw him in the water. Throw him in the water. Have no compassion. Do not put him in a grave. Throw him in the water. Let the sharks eat him. Because I have no compassion towards
that. We weren't here last week, but with Lee Miglin and that whole murder, there was a moment where Conan is saying, you're not calling this a Miglin Tower. And Lee's like, it's not what it's about. It's about something else.
Yeah.
And for a brief moment, I wanted to know what tied Andrew so much to, like, having status, that what warped his brain where he couldn't see something greater than that. Mm-hmm. And for that one moment, and so that's what I'm really hoping we get.
That was big. Episode. That was such a, yeah, it was like, it wasn't good enough. Yeah, he and everything was about, but you could look below and you could see the Sears Tower. Yeah. Like, ha-ha, he was a very...
And he couldn't possibly see why there'd be another reason to do it other than that.
Right. Oh, and by the way, I liked last episode. By the way, I've rewatched all the episodes, but I definitely so rewatched good, last right? episode because, and I think Jeff said it too, what's her name? From Transparent, Judith Light, is it?
Judith Light? Amazing Judith Light.
Yeah, was really into her. I was really into what she had to bring to the Miglin story, and like just even a woman who, I don't want to say she knew what was going on, but like who kind of played the game mm-hmm. in some way to make it all work, and even she, if it wasn't, yeah. You know.
And I mean, she could have not said a word the entire episode. Her face spoke volume. Everything she did with her face when she's getting ready and doing all the kind of stuff. Right.
Darker than so the amazing. Episodes I like more of the, like, I want to see some runways and Versace kind of stuff. I want to see, I grew up in the 90s, so I need all that. But these episodes have been harder, but they've still been good.
Yeah, let's say we talked about that. If you came for the Johnny Versace story, you probably feel like you've lost that the last couple episodes. So how do you guys feel about that?
Oh, I'm so frustrated.
You're still on Andrew.
I'm so frustrated with these past two episodes. I get so angry. I'm just...
Because we're not seeing
and
Johnny?
And you told me I can't have soda, so yeah. Now I'm upset. All the way. No, but I would definitely love to see more insight to what was going on in right. Versace's life yeah. and the relationship, because that was what was introduced in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, because I almost feel like it's a bait and switch a little bit, right?
Exactly. Well, honestly, these episodes, I think they're super strong, and I think they're very entertaining, and mm-hmm. I think they're great television, really, truly. But I also think that I was expecting American Crime Story, the assassination of Gianni Versace.
Yeah.
And I think this is great. This is the story of Andrew Cunanan. But in that case, I want as a showrunner, you to name it that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I want to see more into the glitz of the glam. I cannot see enough of that house. We've only seen it a little bit. I want every episode of that house.
That's what I was going to say. I saw the runway, but I need more runways.
Exactly.
I want more model conversations.
I want fiery Penelope right. Cruz to just be upset about something.
I want to know what Donatello's going through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Her character, exactly. We want to see more of her. We want to see...
Like where her life was, sorry to cut you off, prior where her life of was prior to, like, you know,
arriving,
having to assume this new
scene.
Responsibility.
Exactly.
What's really interesting, I keep getting interrupted, Jules, so sorry. You finish your thought and then I'll hop in.
No, it's all good. I was just saying that, you know, even a funeral, we have yet to see a funeral. I'm sure it's, think of all the people he's interacted with. He's right, star-studded. Yeah. The Naomi Campbells, I want to see them react to knowing about that. You know what I mean?
I mean, they have to give us that payoff, right? Because you can't call it. But yeah, I guess it kind of speaks to the culture, because even the OJ story, really very little about Nicole. So
right.
The victims, the focus tends to be on the murder, and I think maybe because it's more interesting.
Well, yeah, and
that, mindset. Yeah.
There's that, and it is very interesting. This stuff is ultimately the assassination of Gianni Versace, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of the being Steps. Forced into the closet and all of the homophobia, and this is the assassination of Gianni Versace. Even it's just that he's the final result, but all of these pieces that are adding up are the ultimate thing.
That's very true
okay.
because let's think, I don't we don't we don't know
Oprah in the yeah. booth.
People, it's me in the booth. Yeah, I don't know. That's my thought.
No, you're so right, because yeah. that Oprah moment made me think of had David agreed, I don't know that, like, Andrew was going to – I don't know if Andrew was going to be okay
right.
or going to let him go. But what if David did play the game and, like, said, okay, we'll go here, then we'll go to Mexico? I mean, maybe everything does change. So that speaks on that point of ultimately these are the moves.
These are the moments that led up to that assassination.
Right.
Good point.
Very
good. Nice.
The voice up above.
No, but if Versace wouldn't have got assassinated, you know, the world would be a different place. Who knows if he had signed that multi-million-dollar deal to go into the stock exchange.
Yeah.
And who knows, it might have crashed and been like Mervyn's and gone down.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know these things.
That's how these shows break your heart, because you start to see what the plans are of tomorrow.
Right.
Or what could, you know, I think you guys said in last week's show, like, what if she said, come with me to record? That's probably the hardest part to watch, for sure.
Because you know what's going to happen, and you still get that thrill, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want him to take another turn, but you can't. You know the end of the story.
Yeah, and this story is so, I mean, the story and the people are so big, of course the world would be different, you know? I'm sure the models he would have discovered who have never been discovered, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Exactly.
I mean, I would love you... Johnny Versace's take on, like, the Insta model, I feel like, right? Because we've seen how he's, in past episode, how he talks about women and how they should feel. He makes dresses for them, and I wonder
I
what
he'd
think.
He'd probably be a fan, you know.
Yeah, more women to clothe.
No Photoshop.
No Photoshop. Exactly.
Wear it on your face.
What did you guys think about that emotional scene? I guess they did try to give us some connectivity, but I didn't feel it. That emotional scene of Andrew Cunanan crying in that bar.
Crippling.
Because there's that moment where I guess he realizes he's alone.
Like, wait, you didn't feel it at all?
The music was beautiful, but like when it was him, when the emotion got to him, it was like I was just cut off. I was like, okay, I lost it.
I don't know if I was cut off.
What do you mean by cut off?
Where I was, for a moment, I was there. Because I'm like, I know they're speaking to Andrew Cunanan, being this loner who's going to drive you home, da-da-da-da. And the song is so beautiful, it's making me sad. I'm trying to look into Cunanan for some humanity. But the minute it just cuts to... I mean, it was just so close to all these murders, so close to the callousness, that I couldn't feel for Cunanan in the way of going, this really is just like a lonely
broken
child.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get all the way there.
A broken human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't buy the tears?
Because I'm
tears.
Thinking, David, gotta get out that window. I'm like, go.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought when we see him break that window, I thought that he'd jump out and then could not be in the parking lot and was gonna. That's
same
what I
exact
thought.
Thing. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
what
I guess
I
it's predictable, but yeah.
Yeah, and
I thought he was gonna be free. I thought, I was like, he's made it.
But I think that's what this episode shows is that this isn't an action movie, right? These are
human beings
and going through excruciating stuff and like not being able to make decisions, you know, that you would make in movies.
Once I broke the glass, I mean, once I've wrapped up the hand and broken the glass.
But he's probably thinking like, "What? How do I hop in? Am I going to fit? Okay, once I'm out of here, where am I going? He might run after me."
No, not if you're in desperation. If you're in desperation, I think you're going to go. What I thought was interesting is this is why I want to see further when we go back and see when they meet and all these things. I think it was more along the lines of Andrew knew David so well. It's been quoted that David was like the great love of his life. Mm-hmm. Right. That's been quoted. Like, so I think Andrew read the situation and knew that he wasn't going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what was like that's why there was like a handful of emotions there. Like, it was the first time he gave, I'm guessing, I don't know. This was the first time that he gave, it was from what we saw, the first time he gave him a pass, like to kind of be away from me.
Right.
And so it made me think, wait, they've got a past like no other. You know, greatest love of my life was David, is what Andrew had said.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking there was something communicated in the eyes or the behavior that had Andrew feeling like, okay, he's going to go, he's going to return. And even just that is what led him to sit there isolated and feel more feelings than he maybe would have felt.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a stretch.
Yeah.
Could you buy it at all?
Yeah. Think about it, though.
And maybe it'll come through.
How many battered or domestic violent partnerships, they stay because they tend to have hope to see a better person or to even use themselves as a tool to prevent others from being hurt, which is
David's case. I think for David it was pure fear, and I think Cunanan knew out of pure fear this guy was not going to go anywhere.
Right.
I think you're very right, and he's afraid others are going to get hurt, but I think he's also he doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's hard to envision a life. After seeing all these gruesome things, it's hard to envision a life where he gets off of this easy.
Yeah, and I think Cunanan remembers that he was awful to David, and David was cheating on him, but David still didn't have the balls to leave. So, like, he already knows here's someone that could be faced with, like, a crappy situation, but still not going to walk away. And so once I heighten the stakes, he's definitely not going to walk away.
Oh, not that we passed it, but what do you guys think about the idea when he was saying, oh, if you call the cops on me, I'm going to get 30 years, you're going to get 10 years, and him just really hammering David's emotion early on. What? Just any thoughts on that?
I mean, I thought it was a brilliant plan, but I think it didn't work. David was still going to call the cops. He was like, well, we still have to call the police. Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was an interesting moment of how he tried to manipulate. He just kept trying to find things. And David realized at the end, this is why you planned all of it. You wanted me to bring him up so you could have this whole we're in it together deal.
Right.
Yep.
And also,
I think he wanted him to see it, too.
That's
the sick part of him.
Well, yeah, and that was a part that I didn't quite understand. Like, why did you want him to see you at such a level that he'd always be afraid of you?
I think
control.
Yeah, control, power. Mm. I think it's like, you did this to me. I'm gonna show you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you. So it even feeds even more into this fear.
Yeah.
Because I think that he must have sensed that the fact that they're so codependent, and Andrew knows that he's being cheated on, but yet he's staying. David knows he knows that he's cheating, but they're like fused.
And you have to remember too, a same sex couple especially in men, is a whole lot different than a man and a woman being together. Because two men, and there's been studies done on this, two men in a relationship are unconsciously always in competition with each other. And they always
you're not with an opposite sex.
They play each other up because each one of them want to be at their height and the best, but neither one wants the other to be better than themselves.
Meaning, if you're in a female male relationship, there is like at least generally speaking, there's like a feminine and a male trait. So like there's even becomes competitive. Like the,
I don't know if I'd say all of that.
Well, think about it, right? Like,
wow, you shitted on that whole theory. Wait, tell me why you don't think. I've never heard that, but I can, like, it light bell, like, I can see
it. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that females and males are not in competition because of different traits, necessarily. I'd say in a relationship you can be in competition with each other regardless.
Let's revisit the study.
Because I'm competitive with my fiancé often.
True, but so hard, Jeff.
But you're not competing for the same sex or in the same field.
I think we are, though. I mean, like, we both work in entertainment. And obviously, she's my other half. She's my life partner. But, like, you know, we're both in the same industry. So
you mean
I think,
competing for the same, like another person?
No, you have two men that fight for the same thing. You want the same things. You want a man. When a male in a female relationship, a woman's not going to compete with her husband for another woman. I mean, she might want to stand her ground.
No one should be competing for.
It's like when two men break up. This is what happens. When two men break up, like they'll always the one will always try to get with the next hotter one because it's like a status climb on some level. Yeah. I mean, I love to be kumbaya and be like, oh, men and women have the same issues, but we have to be honest about the layers of gay men and especially in 1994. I'm just saying we have got to be a little honest about it.
Well,
good. So I want to know more about that.
Wait, are you saying in competition with each other for another person outside of the relationship?
No, it's just competition in general across the board is too similar.
I mean, just think about it. You're sitting there with two penises. If your penis is bigger than my penis, I'm going to be mad. I mean, let's be honest. If I had to break it down the way I had to break it down,
But don't you agree? Sometimes your girlfriend can be hotter than you are, and you're just like, oh,
like the Reacher and the Settler?
So there's still the same competition. Like, you know, if your girlfriend get more Instagram likes because she's going to post a picture.
Catch it, though, because it's still a man and it's still a woman. You know what I mean?
Let's just end it with this. I know that it can be the same, like with men and women too. I'm just saying we definitely got to own a little bit of that. Yeah. That the competition and the fact that it's 1994. You know you can't get married. Yeah. The fact that what leads to the competitive, and that's what I think. Oh, that's really funny. That brings to the brilliance of why Andrew Cunanan was so attractive to a lot of these guys because of that like power and that dominance. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Anyways, we could go around.
Well, yeah, we'll have to.
We don't all agree, but it's okay.
I don't compete because I know I'm already winning.
She gets the
quote of the night.
Do you know what I told her when we were watching the show once? Like, I looked over. It's like I know Jules is, you know, look or whatever. And then I looked over. I go, oh, my God, the light is really, like, catching you. And her hair, like it was just like, I had to make a compliment, you know. So I did.
Thank you. Yeah. It was such a fun panel.
It was at a weird time because we were watching, like, Death the whole episode.
And she was holding a soda, so it kind of looked like a soda commercial.
Yeah, I did, like, a little double take. I go, there goes Beyonce with the soda, you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Another thing, what I thought we kind of saw a little bit before we head into our predictions is, I guess, a little bit of the escalation of the sort of sadomasochistic Andrew Cunanan, because we see him kind of, he's got these books of this pornography, but it's not till the Lee Miglin murder that we see that he's kind of going full on with this sort of S&M thing. So I'm interested in seeing how that developed, you know, just kind of how he got that MO.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Very true. I was surprised that he kind of put the gay appliances or whatever you want to call them before.
Utensils, maybe?
Utensils.
I don't know.
I think that's a really good point.
Because we saw like a very interesting, weird escalation in the way he started to kill people.
And you know what really stuck out to me at a certain point was that you're obviously in 1997. Mm-hmm. These murders are happening. It's still kind of taboo. Mm-hmm. And the homosexuality with how he's setting everyone up is a little over the top. The last episode was he wanted to dress him in panties and have him surrounded in porn, like just almost look like an obsession. And then they specifically mentioned Power Bottom this episode, so they wanted to I don't know if they're trying to make it look like Kunanin was more sexual and into men than anything else, or what exactly it is. But
it's something psychosexual
going on. Very over the top.
Yeah, it's not just like it's not just bleeding to the violence of the murders, but it's also bleeding to the very psychosexuality of it, which is just kind of bizarre.
That panties, I know we don't have much time, but that panties thing was really interesting. And the reason
that word you thought you'd never say.
That panties thing. No, those pink panties were great. the thing that I thought was interesting about it, I think, because I watched your guys' after show last week, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it was Jeff or one of you had said, like, oh, you know, this whole show like plays on like the homophobia or internalized. Mm-hmm. And so like at first I was like, okay, cool, like I get it, but like I don't really get it. But then yeah, I really felt like that murder of Miglin was so powerful in the sense that like, so whatever Kunanin went through of being who he was and what challenges he had, mm-hmm. when he was at the Bishop School, which is an elite high school, which I'm sure we'll see a little bit later, and like how he just been like, you know, had to develop this shell that has sort of made him this thing, it just played this like combative nature about him that made him say, I need to make sure that you don't get to, you got to get off scot-free because you lived a lie, mm-hmm. yeah. Miglin. You lived and so did the wife. And it just, that scene, like, or not the scene, but the fact that he said he's going to make him be outed like that, yeah. what really did bring me back to, like, high school Andrew. Even though there was no connection to that, mm-hmm. it just brought me back to, like, something that happened in your childhood, but you're going to, like, make somebody else pay for it.
Someone wanted to out you.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to be able to word that all correctly, especially when the first sentence was about the panties.
So interesting.
But you guys went with me.
I do have a question. Did you guys ever have the thought that maybe David, the boyfriend, would kind of feed into all of this? Especially in the scene where he comes back and they're holding hands, and instead of escaping, he's going back to Andrew. And I was wondering, I was like, oh, well, is he even envisioning this life? Is it a thought of him going across the border or traveling, or even when he's about to get shot, he was like, convince me that you want a life with me. Do you think that there was any part of truth that he maybe wanted a life with him and he was envisioning that, or was he done as soon as he saw the murder happen?
I thought the actor was so great at playing up just the small, subtle body movements that were enough to tell me he's still so uneasy at every moment, at every turn.
Right.
Yeah. Even when he tried to play like we're cool, he had a stiffness to him. So I thought the acting was great. That really kind of let me know that wasn't possible. True.
I don't know that he like completely went with them. I just think like when your conditions change, mm-hmm. like you just, you know, you're not thinking the same way. So the same person who was like, you know, I think him and Jeffrey in the elevator talked bad about Andrew, like, you know, Andrew. And so that's telling me that David already kind of like welcomed his old friend, his old buddy to come hang out with them, but he knew that he wasn't really like there with him. But then when something tumultuous like this happens, I think, I don't want to say that he did try to be back with Andrew, mm-hmm. but I think there was a part of him that like, you know, where else do you go? Like it's just, and even just for comfortability's sake, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I say kind of yes.
Kinda.
If I'm being honest, you know, I mean, it's not before, but of course, once you go through all that with him, and your options switch. What do you do? You go to jail. So like, so now you've been in something so ugly with somebody you love down. Like you love this guy for like, you know, we'll see, I guess, later on.
I think they said 15 years. Is that correct, or am I making that up?
What? Wait, what?
No.
He's old.
Pretty young at the time.
In his 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm mixing up with Versace, his BFF.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I was like, what? They got some good skin.
He just like 15 years. But anyways, let's do predictions.
Ooh. AfterBuzz.
AfterBuzz.
Okay, so we'll do that audio recording.
Oh, God. Okay, so I think it's tough. So we've seen, right, all of the murders. We saw this episode talked about the first murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm hoping we're going to kind of go back again and see what led up to the Versace murder, because we saw that a little bit in the first episode, but I still don't fully understand how that actually happened. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. I want more details about that, because I every episode fully is around how a murder went down, right? We understand each and every one of these episodes except for the Versace one, because we see it happen, but then it's right away Donatella, how they're going to handle the media, all that.
I mean, there was a large gap between when he supposedly met him and when the murder went down.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm hope that's my prediction. I don't know if it's a prediction. It's more of like what I hope to see is that. What about you guys?
I want to see if Kunanen actually has any intimate moments with Versace. Mm-hmm. Because that was assumed to have happened. Yeah. So I want to see if they try to portray that in any type of way, or if there's any type of sexual relationship, because he did state at one point that Versace proposed to him. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like he's stated a lot of stuff, though.
I want to see where that comes in, though.
Right, right.
Or if yeah. it was just one of those, like, oh, yeah.
I think what's interesting is the lies, between the lies and then the facts, and then obviously them recreating the stories that are missing. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to figure out what actually took place.
Yeah, well, that's why it makes Darren Criss's acting so amazing, because we're looking at it through the window of, like, the character, but then the character off the lies, and then the character off the lies when he sneaks in some truth, you know?
Right, right.
You're like, whoa, but that, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a really, I couldn't even imagine how he does such a great job at that. Predictions I'd like to see. Of course, now that we've been introduced to these two men, I feel like I really need, like, you know, them, their whole meeting situation, how it was good, how it was bad. Maybe we see, you talked about wanting some innocence with Andrew. Maybe we'll start to see some innocence. Mm-hmm. If you think about it like a true love, mm-hmm. and you know what, he could have been a true love and also been doing some shady shit even right. then. I know that we're going to see, not to jump ahead, but you know, there's going to be a sugar daddy situation, and that, I feel like we're trying to grasp for this answer, like, why did Andrew get so...
Why did
crazed.
That's what we're looking for.
I'm
yeah.
seeing, like, we're seeing the crazed, and then we're knowing of the earlier years, but I really want to see how that power became right. like the thing. And the question I want to propose to you guys, and I think you guys, so you guys, do you really think that Kunanen was, I'm sorry, that Versace was the original target, like, to end it all?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean?
No.
Oh, you think that in his mind he was after Versace was?
Yeah, because they've been rolling out the story like, well, Versace's the top person, so
no.
Andrew was after him.
Definitely not.
Okay, so definitely not.
I think it might have been. No. Well, I think Andrew Kunanen's driving force was status and fame, and I think when he killed Versace, he achieved that, and I think that's where he wanted to be.
I think he was a victim of circumstance.
I don't know if he would have stopped. I don't know if he would have continued killing, but I mm-hmm. think he would have been satisfied with the level of notoriety he was achieving in Versace.
And I don't know, because I don't think... I feel like he gained such power after each murder, and I don't see him having that sensibility to be like, okay, I've achieved this goal, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Especially the way he thinks. Even in this episode, we saw him say, talking to his boyfriend, saying like, oh, with this money, we'll be able to go to a hotel room for a whole week, even a month. And in his brain, that seems so long, right? I think it's a character who thinks really, really short term.
Mm-hmm. But... I don't know, but in all those scenarios, it did seem to me that there was some future for him, where he wanted money to go do something. With Versace, it seemed like he really wanted the notoriety.
You feel like that was a bullet point?
Like, yeah, I feel like he wanted the notoriety of hurting the one that hurt. Yeah, the one that had the most status, the most clout that actually hurt him. So it felt like that was like his all and be
I just
all.
Feel like it got developed along the way.
Yeah,
possible.
There's no game plan, I feel like. He just dies and moves on.
Yeah, I guess I want to see more... I guess a little bit more about that motivation. From him. But I need to see innocent Andrew Kunanen. When I see these things about serial killers, I need to see at what point could we have all changed your life? You know what I mean? Mm. I think maybe that's a human need to go, at what point could we have stepped in and fix this?
Oh, and just what as the note, we haven't watched predictions, so we don't know what the predictions
right,
are.
Right. Yeah,
and I will say, as somebody who doesn't really like the crime shows too much, I'm okay with seeing a couple like Versace-heavy... stuff that's going on in his life.
And oh, at this point, of course.
It could be a drama in that, too.
So you guys, our all thought is that we're going to keep going backwards.
Not always.
I think they might be ready to jump, because if this is the first murder, they might be ready to jump back into a more linear.
But I hope so.
I kind of hope that we get young Andrew.
Well, I need more backstory. But I want it to be interwoven with some Versace.
Oh,
this is
hopefully the last episode just of Andrew. Although good episodes, and I watched them multiple times, the disservice is you become fixated on, like, Andrew. Like, sensationalism of it. I mean, I must have watched the episode where he lies to the guy at the club. Like, I watched that clip 100 times. And the song Lisa Stansfield, This Is the Right Time, is, like, my new favorite song forever and ever. So I don't like that I'm so intrigued by this that you start, you know.
Yeah.
This showman has such a good soundtrack. I feel like there's not an episode we don't go by. Don't, like, talk about this amazing score.
Yeah.
Easy Lover, I've been listening to all the time. Like,
oh, Pump Up the Jam for me. I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Oh, and I would say, here's another thing. When we go back to the Versace stuff, I want to see, like I've been saying, it like more like as much lavish richness, and I really want to get into that scope, because even when you had said a minute ago, I mean a couple episodes ago, you're like, I didn't really know who Versace was until the murder. I want to see the how high he was and how baller he was, and you know, beyond just the struggles.
And maybe that was the motivation that Andrews kept seeing this guy over and over in the public, in the public eye, and that he wanted that status. Mm-hmm. But if that's the motivation, I want to see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think
that's it.
Yeah.
I think
and shout out to all the people in the live chat. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Oh, what are they saying? Can you
Liberty,
read it?
Yeah.
I'm too blind to read that far. It's so small.
Oh, because they may have made good points.
They made some excellent points.
They did. They said we don't know his actual motives because they found him post-mortem.
Yeah.
So there was never really a truth insight to what he was actually thinking.
Thank you for joining us, Liberty. We appreciate it.
Yes.
You rock, Liberty.
And we will be back next week with another exciting review.
Is it, five episodes left?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm interested to know how the ratings and stuff are going in comparison with the other one.
Well, OJ was huge.
We'll talk about that next week.
But I love these 90s era crimes and the soundtracks that go along with them. Anyways, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
There we go, Shaka. Hey, Ronnie, at RandomlyRJ, website RandomlyRonnieJr.com.
I'm Russell Ray. You can find me at Russell Ray Silva.
I'm Juliet. You can find me on Instagram at BonjourJuliet. And also make sure to follow all things AfterBuzz. Like us on YouTube. Subscribe us on iTunes.
Five stars. Yes.
And then if you like this show, please go back and like watch on demand other shows. We have last season of American Crime Story.
Yeah.
We also have American Horror Story, directed by Ryan Murphy.
Oh, I caught a Tomorrow Show of you the other day.
We have the Tomorrow Show.
She was on fire. You were talking about your family and
thank you. Yeah, go follow that. Those are Mondays and Thursdays. TomorrowShowLive.com. Thank you, guys.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.